FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Well, hey, it was a big milestone on the war on terror. Whether you support it or you're against it, it seems to have become a lightning rod. The death of al-Baghdadi, who apparently was taken out. Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi appears to be dead. I mean, it just appears. The story rings true. And the left-wing media has been navel-gazing about it. They seem to be really upset. The Washington Post referred to this person as an austere religious scholar at the helm of the Islamic State. And the memes that have been generated on Twitter and on the web are hysterical, that Hitler was a sensitive artist and died at age 47 or however old he was, alone, you know, peacefully. You know, it just doesn't end. Well, you're about to hear from one of the most reviled people on the internet. We call him a friend. I'm talking about Robert Spencer. You find him on jihadwatch.org. He has been targeted by all sides of the political spectrum for just exposing Islamic terrorism, jihadism, for what it is. And Robert, it's great to have you back. So I assume you probably broke out a bottle of champagne. You weren't shedding any tears for the death of this. I don't even have words to describe what Baghdadi was. I mean, pure evil. If you believe in the devil, then he's the devil incarnate. Just the crimes against humanity, the abuse that he steeped upon non-believers. And he really took his Quran quite seriously, didn't he?
Well, that's the thing right there, Gary, that the Islamic State based everything it did, and still does, for that matter, on the Quran and on the teachings of Muhammad, the prophet of Islam. So we know that Baghdadi was much more than, as the Washington Post called him, an austere religious scholar. He was a mass murderer. He was a rapist. He was all sorts of terrible things. But everything that he did as caliph of the Islamic State was based on teachings of the Quran. And that's the dirty little secret that nobody in the West, especially in our government and military and intelligence apparatus, wants to acknowledge.
Well, on the one hand, I kind of understand, because there are followers of Islam that don't buy into the orthodoxy. You know, you can go through the Bible where it advocates slavery and summary execution, but there's not a moral equivalence here. But there is a lot, perhaps most followers of Islam don't buy into the Quran's literal interpretation, so they don't want to turn those people against us. I get that. But that doesn't mean that you can overlook the people who are following it literally and using it as a justification to declare war upon civilization.
Yeah, see, that's just the thing. Of course there are Muslims who don't buy into this. That's absolutely obvious. The fact is, however, that if we do not acknowledge where this comes from and why ISIS is able to make recruits, even to this day, among peaceful Muslims, then we'll never be able to counter that recruitment in any effective manner.
Yeah, totally true. And that is the problem, that it's kind of like, hey, we suffer from the same thing here in the United States. When you point out true crime statistics, that a certain segment is five times more likely to commit murder than another segment, you are immediately pinned with a racist epithet, if you will, epithet. You're discriminating, all these things. If you say that men are stronger than women and probably are generally going to be better firefighters and policemen, they come back at you and you're a sexist. So this is just kind of the natural outcropping or outgrowth of political correctness and the willingness of so many of you out there to just ignore true facts. You know, the late, great Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan used to say, you can have your own opinions, but you can't have your own facts. They want to impose their view of facts upon all of us.
Yeah, and this is the thing, that the left is at war with reality, as you say. And they just want to create their own facts, even though they can't make things exist by stating them. But nonetheless, there's a massive enterprise in this country today to create a false reality and then to force us all to accept it on pain of charges of racism and bigotry and hatred and Islamophobia and all that nonsense. The problem is that reality keeps breaking through, and it will continue to break through. It's ultimately a self-defeating enterprise.
It's just like Trump. There's plenty of reasons not to like him as a person and to not want to vote for him. And that's fine. That's what the political dialogue is about. But when you get down to the left's vehement, violent, often violent attacks on Trump and his followers, it all comes down to orange man bad, which is not a political argument.
Yes. I mean, what we have now is an impeachment in search of a pretext. Mm-hmm. They've wanted to impeach him since the day he was elected, and they've just been trying to find an excuse. And that's what this is all about. It's totally politically motivated, and it's totally based on the fact that he is not a Washington insider, that he is not part of the bipartisan Washington establishment, that he wants to do things in different ways. And this is something that is frightening in the extreme to the political and media elite.
Yeah. And I just remember that it used to be the New York Times. I think it was written at a 10th grade level. And it really was well written. Sometimes the articles were a little more. I remember the Wall Street Journal being at a college level. All of these publications now have been dumbed down to about an 8th grade level. And as a result, yes, you can aim for different audiences. But when you dumb it down, you wind up really cutting out important facts and arguments because you're writing to a lower level. I mean, we're seeing this all over society, aren't we?
Yes, absolutely. And people are being not just poorly educated, but miseducated, filled with propaganda, filled with falsehoods and half-truths and distortions, and programmed with this nonsense such that they make the wrong judgments. They don't understand what the nation is actually facing. And this is why we have Antifa and all these movements with very disquieting surveys going along saying that most young Americans are against the freedom of speech, against the First Amendment and the like, because they've been lied to all their lives.
And the anti-truth movement, we see it alive and well in social media, in regular media. The drop that was made by Project Veritas, I have to share this with you, right? It was pretty damning. ABC, the anchor there, I remember, Roback, basically says, I had the whole story gift wrapped and ABC rejected it. Now, I have a good friend who, one of my closest friends, extremely intelligent. And on Sunday, he sent me a thing on a podcast about Epstein. And I don't usually talk politics with him. He's so far to the left that it's pointless. But he brought up Epstein. I said, oh, did you see the ABC segment where they spiked the story? And he had no idea what I was talking about. And I sent him the link to Project Veritas, and he was blown away. So my next question, I don't really want to get into a fight with him. He's really a close friend, is, if you don't know that story and it's one of the top stories of the week, maybe, just maybe, you need to broaden your sources of information just a little bit. Maybe you're missing something very important and you don't even know it. And this ties in with the fact of you being deplatformed. Anytime, I won't be surprised if this podcast gets wiped out on a certain file sharing website, if it's made private the second your name pops up. But this is happening over and over again. And we even had Amazon getting rid of Tommy Robinson's book about the Quran. And this is a really alarming trend. It's one thing when you just have these people who are totally not fact-based, but then when they really choke off your means of expression, this is really serious.
Yeah, and there's a concerted effort on the left to destroy the freedom of speech, to allow only one point of view to be enunciated, and to deny any kind of platform to those who dissent from the far left agenda. This initiative has been going on for several years. It's not being resisted in any way. And a lot of people are complaining about it, but nothing's being done. And the objective is to make sure that the conservatives cannot get the word out in 2020, cannot make their case, and thus will not be able to reelect President Trump. And the larger goal, of course, is to make sure that nothing like 2016 will ever happen again, but that only candidates from the left will be elected in the future, because only that point of view will be allowed. And well, if they succeed, then we will be at the end of a free society in the United States.
Oh, for sure. Hey, I want to posit one possible scenario that's going to change this. So right now, we've got this investigation taking place of the 2016 election, of the FBI, the intelligence agency's plotting of a so-called soft coup. And over the weekend, President Trump said, I've caught them in the act. They're all going to be exposed. They're all going to pretty much pay the price. I'm paraphrasing. If, in fact, we've got massive indictments and all of these powerful people are taken down and the evidence is irrefutable, do you think that has the possibility, Robert, of being a paradigm shift to the public at large and to the left?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Osino Resources is a Ross Beatty-backed gold exploration company in mining-friendly Namibia. Osino's district-scale land package is situated near two producing gold mines, one of which Osino's management team previously developed and sold to B2 Gold. Osino's founders and management are experienced mining professionals who have already successfully developed and sold two companies in the past 7 years. Osino has an excellent shareholder base, with Ross Beatty owning 20%, insiders 5%, and Resource Capital Funds 8%. This is an exploration company with drills turning that you'll definitely want to pay attention to. Osino trades in New York under the ticker OSIIF and in Toronto under the ticker OSI. To learn more, go to osinoresources.com. That's osinoresources.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Well, I sure hope so. I know the left is to a tremendous degree impervious to fact.
Yeah.
Otherwise, this impeachment business would not have gotten as far as it has, or as far as it will. And there are numerous other examples. I mean, this whole idea that there are more than two genders and everything else, there's so much we could discuss in this line. But
sure.
The thing is, what we can hope for is that the revelations will be so damaging to their entire project that they will no longer be able to bamboozle people who are on the fence, people who are ill-informed, that it will become manifest to everyone just how dishonest they've been. That's something certainly I hope will be how it all turns out.
I hope so as well. I find it interesting because when this does happen, and I assume that it's going to, I can't say for sure. We could easily be disappointed. We've been disappointed so many times in the past. But this could be like the so-called Great Awakening that has been bandied about in various sites on the web. Because when the indefensible really becomes indefensible, hard to keep your view of the world the way it was before, these people are really suffering from a lot of cognitive dissonance. And so far, they've been able to shut out the truth. Or even if they're not shutting out the truth, they're just not allowing their view of the world to be challenged. And that's what's really disturbing, is every thinking person, every critically thinking person, you got to constantly be examining your assumptions, because your assumptions are always, what did Mark Twain say? It's not the things that you don't know that get you into trouble. It's the things you think you know and you're wrong about that get you into trouble. And that's kind of where we're at now.
Yes, no doubt about it. And Well, this is the function of this miseducation that I was talking about, that people think that they are informed about important issues, and they really have no clue. They have no clue the extent to which they're being manipulated. And, no good can come of it. And we can hope. You know, one thing that we can be optimistic about is the fact that none of this would be being known. We wouldn't know anything about the deep state. We wouldn't know anything about so much that has come out over the last few years if Hillary Clinton had been elected.
Yeah.
And so we may not succeed. They may succeed in silencing us at this point. But now a lot of Americans are sensitized to what's happening. And so they will not be able to rule as easily as they might have expected.
Yeah. If I could paraphrase you, the toothpaste is out of the tube, and that is all compliments of President Trump. Even the most naive, ill-informed person has got to acknowledge at this point that there is a deep state, that it doesn't necessarily and probably doesn't ever act in accord with your interest to protect you and to keep you safe and to make your life better. And once you realize that, I think that's a little scary. So you got to feel a little bit of empathy for these people who've been pretty much just doing everything possible to stay away from the facts. But that can only go on so long, and it really impedes your effectiveness as an individual. When you go and you create your own reality, your reality might be that living on the street is perfectly acceptable and fine, and you can carry on all of life's functions out in public. But the reality is that that's not a good thing and will inevitably lead to your decline and downfall. Hey, if there's one thing you want people to take away from what happened with al-Baghdadi and the whole press whitewash, what would it be?
I think that the main thing is that the Western press, the United States media, really the establishment media all over the Western world, so hates President Trump and what he represents that they are willing to try to whitewash a monster like Baghdadi and write about him admiringly. If Trump had died the same day, you can be sure that the coverage of Trump's death would have been, and of his life, would have been far more negative than the coverage that we saw of Baghdadi. And that is extraordinarily telling.
Yeah, and he was Baghdadi, so he was an austere Islamic scholar. Was this guy ever a scholar? I mean, isn't that putting it
a
little...
Yeah, he is an austere... He was an austere Islamic scholar. I mean, I don't know about austere. I didn't know him personally, but he was certainly an Islamic scholar. There's no doubt about that. He had a PhD in Islamic studies from the University of Baghdad. And the thing is that contradicted everything that we have been told about the Islamic State, ISIS, all these years. Because for years, the Washington Post, that called him an austere religious scholar, had insisted that ISIS had nothing whatsoever to do with Islam. And that the ISIS members were not real Muslims. They had twisted and hijacked the true teachings of Islam. And then when it came to using the death of Baghdadi to hit Trump, then suddenly they admit that ISIS has everything to do with Islam and that this guy is an Islamic scholar. The thing is, he was an Islamic scholar, but he was also, as we said before, a mass murderer, a rapist, a monster in all kinds of ways.
Yeah. So it really, his main profession wasn't being a scholar. It was being a monster. And the suffering that he inflicted upon human beings just should not be allowed in a so-called civilized society. And it's a credit to Trump that he did everything in his power to bring this guy down. And he eventually did. Unlike his predecessor, who didn't really take the whole thing very seriously, maybe he was supporting it backhanded, because it seemed like the Islamic State, ISIS, had some deep state underpinnings. And I'm not being a conspiracy theorist in expressing that opinion.
Yes, that's quite so. The fact is that when Barack Obama left office on January 20th, 2017, ISIS looked as if it was here to stay. It controlled a territory larger than Great Britain. It was selling its oil to Turkey and other countries in the region. And it looked as if it was going to travel the path from terror group to legitimacy that the Palestinian Liberation Organization previously traveled. And Trump changed all that. But before he came into office, the situation was quite different. Barack Obama seemed perfectly content to let ISIS grow and remain.
And there was even a picture of John McCain with a bunch of these terrorists with al-Baghdadi in the background there. So it makes you wonder, because if there was ever anybody who was the spokesperson, the advocate of the deep state, it was John McCain. Wholeheartedly embraced it. Everything about his career was all about advancing the deep state, which up until recently, I got to be frank with you, I always knew it kind of existed, that there was this amorphous power blob that kind of ran things, but I never was able to put my thumb on it. Now you can put your thumb on it. And that's maybe Trump's biggest contribution in the long run, besides taking out ISIS and Baghdadi. Robert, it's always great to have you on. Really appreciate you taking time out. Just tell us again, where's the best place to find your work?
I'm at jihadwatch.org online, jihadwatchrs on Twitter. And my books, including the new one, The Palestinian Delusion, are at any self-respecting bookstore and at Amazon.com.
Well, what I always used to say, what I always say is wherever fine books used to be sold.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. Hey, thanks so much again for coming on. Thanks so much for keeping up this fight. You, people like Pamela Geller, like David Horowitz, you know, you really do make sacrifices that so many of you don't even know about. Constant threats, constant fear, constant danger, and yet you do what you were meant to do. And to me, that's something to really be admired and praised and elevated, not attacked and demeaned and minimized. And thank you for your work. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.